of the Lord that is to be that guide for the Israelites during this time. And so since that's going to be also our theme, be secure in the fear of the Lord, we find that also here in Isaiah 33. So Isaiah 33, verse 1 through 6. Woe to you, O destroyer, you who have not been destroyed. Woe to you, O traitor, you who have not been betrayed. When you stop destroying, you will be destroyed. When you stop betraying, you will be betrayed. O Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. At the thunder of your voice, the peoples flee. When you rise up, the nations scatter. You plunder, O nations. Your plunder, O nations, is harvested as by young locusts. Like a swarm of locusts, men pounce on it. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. So far, a reading of Scripture as we prepare for our text, which will come from Proverbs 14. And so let us now sing also of that same theme of the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom and our guide. And we'll do so by singing Psalm 111, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. As our text this evening, we'll read Proverbs 14, just two verses, 26 and 27. I heard today that, at least in some areas on the internet, the season's greetings this year have been changed, modified just a little bit. For some, at least, saying Merry Christmas and a very happy new fear. Because I guess thinking also where everyone is at after these 2 years of COVID, pandemic, and everything else, it seems appropriate and somewhat exhausting for many people. And just so happens that also for my text this evening, we're going to talk about a different fear again. So happy new fear, I guess. But it is the fear of the Lord. And that's what we're going to be also focusing on for the most part this evening as well. Let's do that theme, that really important theme in Proverbs and what it means and how that also applies to our lives. And this is what it says in Proverbs 14. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. And so far, our scripture reading, our word of God for us this evening. And so, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you all know, it's why you're all here. It's New Year's Eve. And so 2021 will soon turn into 2022. And whenever we get to these turning points, we may have all different ways of celebrating them, but it generally ends up being a time of some reflection for the world, also for us. You know, we look back, maybe consider what this past year has brought. At the same time, maybe also look ahead, thinking like, oh, what is this year going to look like? What is it going to bring? Maybe even setting some new resolutions, some plans for what is to come. There may be some great anticipation of what lies ahead. There may be also just, yeah, worry, wonder, what is actually the next year going to bring? And we'll do some of that also this evening. But as we do so, we'll do so with these verses that we've just read in mind. This is a couple of verses from the book of Proverbs. Because perhaps more than any other book in the Bible, the Proverbs, and especially that theme of wisdom literature, is just the best literature, best writing to help us to reflect on time, give us some perspective. Really, because they all teach us about wisdom and life. And it's wisdom that we need to reflect and to look ahead, and to really learn to live also in the present. And this evening we're going to look at those verses in Proverbs 14 that get to the key of wisdom, and that which is meant to give us safety and life, the fear of the Lord, to be our guide at this turning point. And we'll see how we're safe in the fear of the Lord. That is our theme this evening. Now, as we read through it, you may have noticed that the fear of the Lord is really what ties those two verses together. It says that he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And it's this probably familiar theme in Proverbs. I wouldn't be surprised if many of you have memorized or know well that Proverb 1:7. But it's the beginning of wisdom. Or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You even find that sometimes hanging in some schools or other places of learning, realizing that, you know, you can have all of these classes, you can learn all of these things, but there's something that's more basic, something more foundational, and it is that fear of the Lord. However, the fear of the Lord isn't just the beginning of wisdom, that foundation for it. In the rest of Proverbs, it expands and expands on really the blessings that flow from this fear of the Lord. Like it mentions in our text, it's a fortress, it's a refuge, it's the fountain of life. So really the big question then is, what is this fear of the Lord? Now, I know myself that every time I come across this, and also as I preach on it at different times, I think generally we would talk about fear of the Lord differently every time. Maybe depending on the context, or maybe depending on how much time we can spend on that question. What is this fear of the Lord? What is it? It's such an important concept in the Bible. You find it in the Old Testament again and again. You'll find it in the New Testament. But what really is it? It's not always the easiest concept to explain. Someone would ask you, what is this fear of the Lord? Why do you talk about fear? of the Lord. How would you explain? What would we say that it really is? You may have a decently good idea based on your experience, based on how you marvel or have some awe before the Lord, but it's also easy to have a wrong impression. And one of the main reasons for this struggle is that language of fear. Because fear can mean different things. Does fear of the Lord mean being afraid of the Lord? I mean, sometimes that may be just where our mind goes. Because we may be experienced of being afraid of the Lord because He's powerful and He's so majestic and He does so marvelous things and He's holy and we are sinners. And what is He going to do with us? He's transcendent. He's so high above us. And we may say, yeah, we may be afraid of Him. But that is the only possible response that we may have to God. But that really isn't necessarily a biblical picture. Or it is biblical, but that's not really what God intends or desires. You just think about it, in the very first pages of Genesis, it's Adam and Eve who truly are afraid of the Lord. They flee from Him, they try to keep their distance. That's not what the Lord encourages us to do. I mean, He sends His Son. He says, come, draw near, pray to me, love me as a father. Come to me through Jesus Christ. So no, being afraid is not what we're to be thinking of here. So let's try again. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Does it mean to respect Him, have reverence for Him? It's often what we may try to explain it that way. And sometimes you have that also in translations. The NIV may translate it that way. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Look in the original, it has that language of fear again. Fear of Christ. So certainly this gets away from that being afraid. That's not what we want. But is it reverence? Is that correct? Why then use the language of fear? If it's just about reverence, then why would the Bible use that language of fear? Fear of the Lord. So what is it then? What are we trying to get at? What is the Lord trying to get at? In some ways, you can just say it's just that much more. Reverence catches some of it. But it just has to be so much more. Just think about it. It is a refuge. It is meant to be a life. It is the beginning of wisdom. It's not easy to reduce it. But when you look at some other uses of it in Scripture, you realize that there's actually quite a few examples where fear and love are almost used side by side. In Deuteronomy, Moses gives Israel the law. What is the law intended to do? Well, we hear it every week. The law is meant to make us love the Lord. That's the great commandment, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. But then he actually also says in Deuteronomy 6 that it is also about that you may fear Him. Fear and love. Going right there together. Psalm 145, verses 19 and 20. He fulfills the desire of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all those who love Him. And it seems like it just keeps on in that way that Hebrew poetry does, line by line, comparing things. It says those who fear Him are also those who love Him. And He hears their cries and He also preserves them. Which may be a strange thing to tie together, fear and love, isn't it? In some ways, in biblical language, you may even say that generally love casts out fear. So why these two together in those places? It's probably because we don't always, you know, love is also this word that has a lot of meanings. And when we use that word love, it can mean even different things, often depending on the thing that you're talking about. You may love coffee and you may love your spouse, but you're going to love them very differently. Different extents, different degrees, in different ways. And so you may go all things. You may talk about all different things that you love, and yet you'd love them differently. And so what should characterize really our love for God? How how much may we love him? What does that look like? Can't just be an impassionate love, can it? As if, like, you know, you may prefer one brand over another, but you'll have either of them if you don't chase. Like, oh yeah, I love God in that way. Can't be an impassionate love. It can't be love without substance, or that changes. Well, maybe as the Lord teaches us something about that language of fear of the Lord, he teaches us something about the extent of our love, that our love for him ought to be that kind of trembling, fearful, overwhelmed kind of love. For a God who is that great, that majestic, that gracious to each one of us, as he forgives our sins, as he draws us in, as he sends his Son, that we cannot be but passionate about it. That it comes with that sense of fear and trembling. Of reading some people talking about this and talk about, you know, fear and trembling. You find that other place, a combination in Scripture. That often they go hand in hand. And yet you also realize that sometimes trembling, you tremble not because you're just afraid, because you're also excited. It's adrenaline or something like it. Sometimes it's really the good things that cause us to be so full of trembling, shaking, pacing, racing thoughts. You may be so stuck in the moment that your thoughts are going, they're racing. And yet at the same time, you have a strange sense of calm. You want to be time to hurry up so that it just may go on and the next moment may come, but at the same time, wondering and cherishing every moment. Think about that. A kind of overwhelming sense of emotions. Good ones. But then also sometimes a little bit of fear and trembling with them. You've probably experienced them. Maybe it was your wedding day. As you were waiting, full of fear, anticipation, but also love and joy and excitement. I'm just going to guess that some of the kids last week, as they were opening presents, also had almost that shaking going on because they were so excited and wondered what it is. But you also don't want to, you know, if you open it up, then all of the excitement's kind of gone. Because then you finally know what it is. Or the anticipation of seeing friends and family after such a long time. Or like any adventure we go on in life, any grand one. A trip. The news of a pregnancy, setting up a new place, or settling in at a new place or a new house. Skydiving. If you ask anyone, or if you ask us in those moments, you know, what do you really fear, feel, and what are you thinking of? Could you reduce it to just one thing? You may say, yes, I'm afraid in some ways, but also I may be overwhelmed. Yes, but also something else. Full of reverence, yes, but also full of wonder, full of excitement, full of love also in that time. Trying to reduce those moments and all that we think and feel and experience to one word would almost be impossible. And yet that's what Scripture in some ways tries to do, as it does with that language of fear the Lord. That incredible love that brings us before him. With excitement, with awe, with that overwhelming sense of his presence. It is that fear of the Lord. If you're still wondering what to think of this fear of the Lord, just and make it more concrete, well, think about it more also through the lens of Jesus Christ and his relationship with his Father. To live in the fear of the Lord is to live as sons and daughters of the Most High God, as Jesus has shown us. I mean, would Jesus have been afraid of his Father? No, he had no reason to, even as he was sinless. But would he show his Father reverence? Yes. Would he be in awe of his Father? Yes. Does he be submitting to his Father and loving his will and his plan and going through it? Yes. Would he have full of intimacy with his Father, continuing to go back to him in prayer and in speaking with him and sharing with him? And a deep trust and love, of course. Christ knew his Father. Incredible wisdom and majesty. All of it bringing together that fear of the Lord. And so important for us to also keep that in mind, to keep Christ in view, because otherwise, you know, we would do wonder maybe as we read that, well, fear of the Lord, it is beginning of wisdom, it is a refuge, it is life, and so much more than, well, how could it, all this one thing be so much? Well, the fear of the Lord is the spirit of Jesus Christ, the spirit of sonship. Get us thinking right away also of the Holy Spirit given to us, worked in us, bringing us with fear and trembling, with awe and wonder into that fellowship with Father, Son, and Spirit. Full of wonder, awe, trembling, humility, excitement, and in short, fear. So when we look at our past year, has our lives been filled with or cultivating a fear of the Lord? Perhaps one of the best things about the book of Proverbs is that, yes, it talks about deep wisdom, obviously, and Proverbs. You can chew on, you can think about them, but also they often just bring it to us with examples and pictures of everyday life. Now, look at creation, look at the ants, look at your neighbor, look at the fool. Keeps on looking around and you glean wisdom from it. That God has given us many lessons to learn here on earth and around us. So have we learned or grown in our fear of the Lord in the past year? Some ways can't generalize because everyone's situation has been different to some degree. There's probably, though, no escaping that in these last 2 years we faced difficulties, difficult times. Throughout all of the pandemic and all the restrictions, that we've learned lots maybe about ourselves, what lives in our hearts, the things that we find difficult to go without, the things that we really kind of trust or put our hope in. In many different ways, God gives us also these years and each year again, these opportunities to cultivate the true fear of the Lord. Think about all the ways in which God has taught us again and again about our lack of control, personally, as humanity, as nations. Now we live in a time that is more advanced than probably any other century, but still have to then come to terms with the fact that it doesn't take much for even our best plans to be frustrated. Even with our best advances, we can't control that much. That even things like a virus may just disrupt it all. And especially after 2 years, we realize that there's no silver bullet, so we realize that we have all of this knowledge, and we have the medical abilities, and we can produce vaccines, and thank the Lord for that. But in the end, we may still have to, in some ways, just let nature run its course, and only that will actually bring relief. We know so much, we control so much, but we probably all learned something new this past year when it comes to weather phenomena, whether it was heat domes or atmospheric rivers. And just like that, I always thought we could just take a trip to the coast, but then all of a sudden all four connections are cut off. Who could have predicted that? And how humbling it is. Think of what the Lord teaches us each year again. In the past year we've had, also as a church, an eventful year. Parking lot church. I'm going to guess that some people here, when we had the first parking lot church on that Sunday, took a picture because you thought, like, this is never going to happen again at any time, and I got to share it with someone. It's like, this is what we're doing this Sunday, or just, you know, I don't know, for years from now, so you may remember, you know, that one time we did things very differently. We went to the parking lot, and that's how we had church. And maybe even the stranger thing is that before you knew it, we had been doing that for 4 months. and somehow just gotten used to it. We've had a Sunday that opened up and everyone could return to church and we all sang. And speaking of a mix, you know, all these kinds of emotions coming together, I'm sure for many of you it was that as well. Probably felt many of them that Sunday. Had difficult questions to deal with as church in our lives. And when we take those seriously, almost naturally, they lead us into that greater sense of the fear of the Lord. Because our own lack of wisdom becomes so apparent. The realization that questions and concerns can just consume us and they drain us and they take up all of our mental abilities. And yet at the same time, as important as they may be, that sense that if we were just confronted with the majesty of God and all of His holiness and all of His glory, we would forget about the questions that we were dealing with. Because God's glory would overshadow it all and grant us a sense of peace. That is the fear of the Lord. And in general, we likely also all feel how limited our energy really is. In the last year, we've probably all hit a wall at some point, maybe a couple times, just where everything that has been going on just kind of drains you, wears you out. At least that's been my experience, also as I hear and talk with people. You know, and some of you may have had it sooner, some of you may have had it later, but at some point. You know, for the last 2 years, I've had Colossians 1, verse 11 and 12, kind of on my mind and back of my mind. And it's what Paul wants by his prayer for the Colossians. And this is what he says in Colossians 1. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. It speaks of being strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and give thanks to God. And I'm pretty sure I started using that in some visits, like 4 to 6 months into COVID, and here we are 2 years in. And already then I was talking about, yes, patience and endurance. Because we realize, yeah, our patience and endurance run out real quick. Or at least mine does. Then you listen to Paul, who has a true sense of the fear of the Lord. How he's not looking for the Colossians to just be, well, I hope you are a tad more patient. That you may bear with things a little bit more than other people might. But that he's also not praying that they may just endure the struggles just a little bit more comfortably than their neighbor. No, he says, according to the fear of the Lord, according to His majesty and might, may it be that you're strengthened by His glory, with His glorious might, so that the church may endure the greatest storms and be patient under trial and upon trial and upon a trial. That all of this great love of God may fill us. Have this great fear for Him, who is so much more precious than anything else. That we may face, that we may fear, that may drain us, that may wear us down. That God may become that much greater. And bear us that much more and longer according to that might that gives us awe and wonder and strength. Which is thankfully also what we see. We've gone through a long list of disasters and difficulties, so got to do something else now, right? Because you see that in the year too. It's not just disasters that learn, that teach us to fear the Lord. As much as maybe that is often the way that God does it because we're poor students. What about the joys of this past year? What are the riches of His grace that you've experienced? You may have some very specific examples in your life that you may give thanks for to God for. How has God appeared and been experienced as more glorious, more powerful, more lovely than you expected or hoped for? How has his goodness and his mercy taught you to fear him? In more general terms, I think the theme of patience and endurance is what stands out. It's the fear of the Lord today. We continue to face, challenges and maybe difficulties. Yet it's also just helped us adapt, prioritize. Mentioned parking lot church being one example. We face strange situations. We come together, make adjustments, and just find a way to make it work. It's not just a fear of God working in one of us, but in all of us together. Continue to see great continuity. Things may change. Restrictions come and go. We deal with them, and yet, just in general, church continues. We're tested. We're under pressure, yet we worship. There's continued to be preaching. There continues to be community. Yeah, all of it does have its effect on the church. Has its effect on all of us. The church still stands, it continues, it grows, and we mature. How, right? How does that happen? How do we get through it all? Is that not the fear of the Lord? A love for him, that in all of our trials and challenges and even all of our joys and goodness, that we continue to just to value God more and more. But as all of the glory of the world somewhat fades, that we start to tremble at the glory of a God who is the creator of it all. And as the world struggles with this fear and that fear and any new fear, we just say we've come to fear the Lord. And that as we find ourselves going through it all and enduring it all step by step, day by day, we just end up cherishing that fellowship that we have, that relationship that we have with God, relying on him more and more. That we just long for his love and for his wisdom as just our ultimate treasure. And that it's his presence that fills us with that trembling and excitement more than anything in this world could do. Let that then also be what we look at and look for in the year ahead. Because what God has done, he will continue to do. And it gives us a wonderful comfort for the year ahead. Because Proverbs describes it wonderfully. The fear of the Lord is a refuge, it's a fortress, and it is life. So maybe deal with those two verses now. Maybe think of them through. Think through them as fear of the Lord as we deal with challenges, and the fear of the Lord as we deal with opportunities, different things that happen to us during the year. First of all, the fear of the Lord is a fortress and a refuge. And we never know what the future holds. We may have great hopes, we may have anticipations, we may also have fears or worries, concerns. Or maybe we're just here and we think, not going to make any predictions anymore. We'll just wait and see. And Proverbs says, among it all, the fear of the Lord stands as a fortress, a secure place. That's wonderfully described in Isaiah 33. I mean, we hear the Lord in Isaiah 33 teaches people this again. It's wonderfully describes the fear of the Lord as that key to the treasure of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. As we read through it, it's maybe a bit, the prophecy is somewhat not as clear as we hear those words of Isaiah, but they predict punishment, judgment for Assyria. And the world is going to change. A superpower in his day will be shaken. You just imagine for everyone in that world that, of course, that's going to send shockwaves through all the nations. So where does the Lord then say, where can you be safe? He says, Israel, be safe in me. Fear me who has that glorious might. Don't care about Assyria. Don't care what happens with them. Listen to my word and fear me as that key to this treasure of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. Fear me, that is that rock that will never be shaken. Fear him who with wonderful grace and power will always just save his people despite the forces at work in the world. You know, we all know how easy it is to get caught up in grand events of the world, and we naturally keep track of them, and it's good to be informed. A proverb says there's one fortress, one security. The fear of the Lord. And everything else pales in comparison. And we tremble with excitement and love and wonder at Him. There'll probably be challenges in the year to come. There'll also be opportunities, choices, joys, and changes. And somehow we'll also have to navigate those. What is good? What is wise? What does the Lord want me to do here? What may be right for me and for others? How do we find our way? And we all have some innate sense of direction, some internal compass that guides and drives us through life. So maybe we see ourselves or want to see ourselves at a certain point, and we have a plan and we have an idea of how to get there. Maybe this year, maybe the next year, maybe the years to come. It also usually doesn't take us long to realize that even with the best plans, they just don't seem to turn out quite as we want them to. And I'm not talking about events that we don't plan for. No, Proverbs talks about something else, that there's traps, there's snares, there's detours that just pull us from life, that pull us from God, that pull us really from things that matter. And it could also just be that we're here after another year and wonder where did the year go and what was I doing? Or we do that next year or the year after. And Proverbs said, warns us against these things, saying, there's only one guide. That is the fear of the Lord. Too easily misguided. We too easily have all these influences. That sense of direction. But let it come under that fear of God. Because it is the fountain of life. As we place all of our life in that fear of God, things become more clear. So we have guidance. We have a Lord who grants life and strength and doesn't trap us. He doesn't take it away from us and leave us empty. So fear the Lord and everything that comes our way this year. And find in it a richest, a security of life that doesn't fail. Because that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is a fortress. It is a refuge. It is the fountain of life. So a happy new fear, a fear of the Lord. Amen. Now, since this is meant to be a combined service also with Kelowna URC, and I believe 2 years ago we sang mostly songs that we found in our book of praise, I did figure that we'll sing something that's familiar, also found in both Trinity's, or no, found in both Trinity's Altar Hymnal and our Book of Praise. That'll be hymn 85, our closing hymn. Then also sing something from the Trinity's Altar Hymnal that should be familiar, Amazing Grace. We'll sing 6 stanzas of that. It also speaks of grace of God teaching us to fear and also taking that fear away. Different fear again, but of course related to what we've talked about. The wonderful grace of God that takes away that fear, that draws us in and makes us His children. And so let us then also sing of the amazing fear of God, the wonder and glory that He has shown us in His amazing grace. I'll now also lead you in prayer. And in prayer, we'll also continue to remember our sister Stein Hoekstra, and of course Jake and the family as well, as her health continues to deteriorate, and in many ways seems like the Lord is also close to calling her home. And so we'll pray for them as well, and continue to leave them in the safety of our Father's hands. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly God and Father, teach us to fear you. May it be that our love for you may have that wonder, that amazement, that excitement that so fills our hearts and our minds, full of your majesty and grandeur and your awesomeness, Father, your holiness. And that in every area of life, Father, we may more and more come to treasure this. For we find in it the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of seeing clearly and having perspective and gaining a sense of life and priority also within this world. We find in it that refuge where the world may continue to change and challenge us, yet we have that your fear of you on which to stand. That key that unlocks all of those treasures, that assures us of your good favor towards us, your wonderful love and grace. And we thank you for the many ways in which we've experienced that also this past year, how you have blessed us. You've given us life and health and strength, that you've given us also the communion of saints and built up your church. And Father, would you continue to do that also in the coming year? Grant us all that we need. Grant us that we may be able to do our work, to do our tasks that are before us to your glory and by your blessing. For we realize that whatever we do, we may make the best plans. We may think we have everything lined up and under control. And yet, Father, we need your blessing for it all, for it to bear fruit, for it to bless us and give us what we need. For you, Father, are above all what we need. In life and in death and all that we face. And so be with us. And Father, would you then also help us, also in whatever we face this coming year, all of its joys and all of its challenges, to be able to come to you, to be built up, to continue to mature, to be blessed by your Spirit. And in all things too, because of our fear for you, be able to say that your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, and we ourselves would submit to your will in that wonderful adoration. Bless us too, each one of us, Father, as we bear different crosses and different burdens, that you would watch over us, give us the strength to bear it, according to that your mighty, glorious power, that we may have endurance and patience. Whether it is we're grieving or dealing with sickness, or Father, we have worries about anything in our lives, Father, may we bring that to you and receive all that we need. And so also this evening, we once again pray for our sister Stein Hoekstra. Father, may she find herself safe in your hands, that you would give her much, much strength and peace also during this time as you call her home. And that may be that she may go in that wonderful assurance that there is glory for all who love you within your kingdom. And may that be the comfort also for the rest of the family, whether it's Jake and Dave and Amanda and all their other children as well. Watch over them during this time. We ask you that you'd be with us all. Grant us a blessed evening. Grant us a blessed beginning of a new year. A year once again in your hand, according to your rule, and a hope in Christ and in Him alone. We ask you all of this in Christ's name alone. Amen. As usual, there'll be opportunity to also give to the Lord in accordance with how He has given to us and blessed us at the doors as we leave. And now we'll stand and sing our closing hymn, which will be hymn 85. Now go also with the blessing of the Lord into a new year and his wonderful fellowship with the triune God. And so the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.